It is the daytime break and we are having our daytime conversations once again here on the show. Thank you for joining us. And I've got back in studio with me a man who's really just been walking us through the story of Nehemiah. And I literally was saying to him the other day that I never realized there were so many lessons to draw from that word when it comes to the subject of rebuilding, which I think is something that we're all familiar with, because at some point or another, we've heard news, just like he did, of something in our lives that had broken down, and a form of rebuilding had to take place. And so we've been journeying through the story of Nehemiah, and there's still so much more to talk about. But for now, we're going to just do a part three and wrap it up only for now. And we'll continue because there's so much more that leads him to the process of actually starting the rebuilding. And there are lessons in that as well. So Phuluso, who is a Bible lecturer, and yes, is back with us again. And we've got part three of rebuilding. And what is the theme of this one today?
Yeah, so today it gets interesting because Nehemiah will face opposition. And then that's one thing that we would be naive to think we won't face it when we rebuild. The enemy won't smile on what you build.
Sure.
He will oppose it. And Nehemiah shows that very well, how to deal with it. So that's the lesson we'll draw today. But the other things that will point as we go. So we pick up the narrative from verse 10. We ended up at 9 last time. And he says, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite heard about this, they were very much disturbed. So there we go. Some people are disturbed. You'd think this is a good cause. Isn't rebuilding a good cause?
Yeah.
That people should rejoice over it. But they are disturbed that someone had come to promote the welfare of the Israelites. I mean, poor man hasn't started rebuilding. He's preparing himself to, he's got the letters from the king, he's got the wood, he's getting ready to go. He hasn't even started, but people, by virtue of just hearing that somebody has this intention, they are disturbed.
Sure.
If you look at verse 10, it's two people, Sanballat and Tobiah. And these were Samaritans. We'll come back to Samaritans maybe at a later stage. If I get into it now,
we won't finish.
We won't finish.
And I suppose, you know, I like what you touched on there to say not everybody will, or rather the enemy is not always going to be happy to watch you rebuild, because obviously, you know, he's happy to see you distressed and things falling apart in your life. But, you know, obviously opposition then manifests in different ways.
Yes.
We've got our own, what do you call, who are they? Tobiah and
what's his name, the other one?
They manifest in different ways in our lives. Sometimes
Sanballat,
it's people,
yes,
around us. Sometimes it's resources. Sometimes, you know, it's a lot of things. But I'm really keen to find out then how Nehemiah actually works through the opposition that he faces.
Yeah. So Nehemiah then, he gets into Jerusalem. The journey of 3 months, by the way. When we look at verse 10, he just says, you know, I arrived in Jerusalem. You'll think it's the next day, but it actually took him 3 months to get there. So
there's 4 months of waiting on God.
Yes, 4 months of waiting.
3 months. Already it's like 7 months. And we haven't even begun to
put the walls up.
So sometimes it's a process.
It is a process.
Sometimes it will take long.
Exactly. And we must allow the process to unfold. Sometimes we rush things and then you're not going to rebuild properly if you rush things. Mm. Allow the process. Trust the Lord. Wait on Him. He'll answer. And then you prepare yourself and then set yourself to rebuild. But anyway, he gets there and then he starts assessing the walls. If you look at 2:13, he says, I went out by night through the valley gate towards the Jackal Wall, the Dung Gate, examining the walls around Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and its gates. So he starts by looking at the extent of damage. Lord, how much damage is there? And that's a good place to start. For instance, if you maybe got an addiction and you're trying to rebuild your life, well, how far have you gone? Or something like that. If there's a place in your life where you're trying to rebuild, how far, what is the extent of the damage? And he goes on around the night. And look, he's alone. He hasn't told anybody. Good thing for a leader. He's going by night. And again, showing that this thing is burning in his heart. And he actually says it. I had not told anyone. He went in, and then look at verse 15. So I went up to the valley gate, and then finally I turned back after he had access. So first thing, know that the extent of this.
You keep dropping gems one by one, and you keep moving right along, because I'm still stuck on that he, he hasn't told anyone.
Yes.
And sometimes in our process of rebuilding, it has to first be us and God.
Yes.
So that we're able to hear God's direction properly.
Exactly.
Before we go tell Pulus, or who might discourage you from rebuilding, or you'd run and tell this one and that one and the other.
Yes.
Just having me and God first have this conversation and talk about this process. But I want us to take a quick music break, and when we come back, we'll continue with the discussion.
Sure.
Let joy come alive on Impact 103.
This is, part three of a conversation that Puluso and I have been having around the topic of rebuilding. If you're finding yourself in a process where something in your life has been broken down and you're needing to rebuild, I mean, we're drawing so much lessons from Nehemiah in the Word of God, who had to go and rebuild the walls of Jericho. I think one of the things that are in my heart, Puluso, is to say, what a wise man of God. Like, he literally walked with the Lord throughout the process of hearing the bad news right up until, you know, he probably starts rebuilding the walls. But right now, where we're at, we're talking about facing opposition as you rebuild. And one of the things you highlighted before we took a break is that, you know, firstly, he hadn't told anyone about, the process and what he was planning and thinking. It was just between him and God, which is a good lesson in itself. Sometimes that is absolutely necessary. But you also mentioned the fact that he went then to assess, you know, the level of damage that has been caused around the wall, I guess, so that he may know what to expect in terms of the rebuilding and to prepare accordingly.
Yeah, exactly. He does exactly that. And I think that's one of the things that you'll remember in the New Testament. Jesus would teach that which of you wanting to, you know, build a tower will not first assess, see if you've got enough resources, lest you start and then you can't finish. And people will say, look at him. He was able to put the foundation but could not build it. So that's what Nehemiah does. And now he'll involve the people. He says, I said to them, you see the trouble we are in. He's now seen it for himself. And you'll remember in chapter 1, he'd only heard about it. He'd never been.
Yes.
Now he sees it. You can imagine how much it broke his heart. If in chapter 1, just by hearing it, got him to weep and be on his knees, you can imagine seeing it. But then he calls the people. You see the ruins and the gates have been destroyed. They've been burned with fire. He says, come, let us build the wall, that we will no longer be in disgrace. Again, so now this is a community thing. He involves other people. He says, come, you see the extent we are in.
He asks for the help that he needs now.
Yes, he asks for the help that he needs. Yeah. And that was a very important thing that he needed. He'd got everything he needed, wood and material, and he got the army with him. Praise God for that, letters and all of that, we saw it. But a very important tool to rebuilding is hands.
Mm.
It was a very last and important tool. And we will need that. We will need the hands of other people. We'll need our own hands. That's a very important tool if you're going to rebuild. And then he says to them, you see how the Lord has been gracious. And then they replied, let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. I like the other translation that say they strengthened their hands for the good work. And it's very important to strengthen one's hands. And to strengthen your hands is to say, you know what, my hands are going to be available to get into this, the time, the resources, I'm going to strengthen them.
I think, you know, sometimes I think in our lives that also looks like willingness to say, I'm going to show up for this process of mending this broken thing in my life. I'm going to be willing to, you know, be here in the process of rebuilding whatever it is that needs to be rebuilt. I like that. It sounds like willingness as well.
Yeah, exactly. It is willingness. And then obviously they start. But if you look at verse 19, there is now some more opposition. Remember, we're talking about dealing with this opposition. If you look at 19, now we've got when Sanballat, the Horonite, Tobiah, and now there's a third person, and Geshem, the Arab, heard about it. They mocked and ridiculed us. When you saw it earlier in verse 9, it was just Sanballat and Tobiah. But now they've just are ready to build. They're strengthening their hands to start. Suddenly, opposition has increased by 50%, if you will. In 10, there's only two people. Now there's a third person. And they start by ridiculing. And ridicule is, it cuts to the heart.
Yeah.
Ridicule is, it really disheartens somebody.
Mm.
And they say, what is this you are doing? They ask, are you rebelling against the king? But then he says, I answer them by saying, the God of heaven. Again, he answers by looking at the God of heaven, will grant us success. We, his servants, will start building. So again, he focuses on God, not the opposition. The opposition comes, but he resists the devil. And that's what the scripture calls us to do. He says, you know what? The God of heaven will grant us success, and we, his servants, will start rebuilding. And that is the thing we must do. If we're going to start rebuilding our lives, the enemy will come through whatever ways. There'll be jeering, there'll be ridicule in words, and that's painful. But if you focus on it, it can hold you down and dishearten you, and you will end up not rebuilding.
Sure.
But if you change your focus, you focus on God, and that's what he does. He said, I answer them saying, the God of heaven, he will give me success. And we will start this. So that is how to deal with it.
Sure.
One, expect it.
Yeah.
And know that it will grow. The more you do, the more it also grows a position. But focus on God.
Focus.
God is the one that will grant success.
That is so... I mean, Maya's attitude, guys, is just... It's something to learn so much from. His confidence in God is incredible. You know, the sense of security he has in God, knowing without a shadow of doubt that this rebuilding process will take place regardless of all the stumbling blocks and the opposition. You know, he's made up his mind in his heart to say, we will rebuild, and because God is with us. That is absolutely something to take away from this as well. Puluso, thank you so much. We've learned a great amount of lessons from the story and from all that you've shared. And until we do it again, thank you.
Thank you. Only a pleasure.